What we're going to start tonight, if we do not conclude tonight, we'll continue next week. Amen. We're looking at 70 rules of spiritual warfare. 70 rules of spiritual warfare. 70 rules of spiritual warfare. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or we do not believe it, life is a battle. And whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or you do not believe it, everyone has one enemy or the other. Even if you don't believe that you do have enemies, that does not stop the enemies from harassing you. Whether you believe it or not, as far as you're a man or woman of destiny, a warfare has been declared against you from the bottom of hell. I pray that tonight, every trumpet of warfare blown against your destiny from hellfire shall go back to the senders. Let your amen be loud and clear. The book of Job tells us, man that is born of a woman is of few days and is full of trouble. So there are battles to fight. Many of us are in the midst of our battles now. Many have conquered so many battles. Many are just beginning some battles. There is war, spiritual war going on. Light, darkness. Right and wrong. Clear and unclear. Dark and light. Going on always. Even as we are here now, there are forces contesting for our hearts, for our souls. So there is a spiritual warfare going on. There are 10 deep passages that must be seriously considered in this kind of message. Because the Bible itself is a military book. It has military terminology scattered all over its pages. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. We read. So you can know the basis of what we're discussing. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. Said, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. If you find that, can you read it? That tells you straight away that even the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Almighty, is not a civilian, he's a soldier. It means that if you belong, if you are his child, you are his follower, you also automatically become a soldier. If there was no war to fight, the Lord would not be called as the Lord of hosts or the God who is a man of war. Now in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Very, very interesting passage, which we all know very well. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For we wrestle. The word wrestle there is a very harsh word in the original. It refers to struggling. It refers to hand-to-hand fighting. It refers to extreme violence in a fight. It is talking about hazardous and deadly fighting. It's talking about brutal and barbaric fighting. It's talking about a fight that goes on until either somebody surrenders or is dead. That is the word Paul uses to describe the kind of battle we are fighting. He said, for we wrestle. So there you see the four categories of forces that we wrestle with. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says this: fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It says, fight. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Please keep this scripture at the back of your mind. In Psalm 144 verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. If you have found Psalm 144 verse 1, can you read it loud and clear? Can you shout it again loud and clear? So God is an instructor in warfare. Teaches people how to fight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. It's important we look at these deep passages. So you know there is war going on. Whether you believe it or not is not relevant. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Say, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Meaning you can fight. And your fighting is like somebody beating the air. The enemy may be before you, but you are boxing the back. And you may even exist without having a good idea of what you are fighting against. But there is a fight on. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Revelation 12, 7 tells us that war started in heaven. In Revelation 12, 7. Say, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. But the beautiful thing is in verse 8. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. I pray that any dragon power harassing the destiny of anyone here shall be arrested in the name of Jesus. It shall be arrested. It shall be arrested. It shall be arrested. In the name of Jesus. Passage number 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. Please note the scriptures well. Write them down. Go home. Look at them one by one. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So the striving, the fighting has laws, and you must strive and fight lawfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10, 4, now tells us this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have warfare and we have weapons of that warfare. And those weapons are not carnal. They are all spiritual weapons. Back to 1 Timothy again, chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. It says this: this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Can war a good warfare. He said again, look at it again, verse 18, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Certain rules, certain charges given unto Timothy by which he will fight a good warfare. Many of us are fighting, many are praying, but they are breaking the rules of the warfare, and they are either not getting results or getting weak results. In Luke chapter 14, verse 31. Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 14, verse 31. Luke 14, 31. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. That is, when somebody wants to go into warfare, you must sit down and plan and assess your strength and see whether you are even able to go into this kind of battle you say you want to go into. So what king going to war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. These are 10 deep scriptures. Finally, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, God gave some instructions to the Israelites whenever they wanted to go to war. He had some rules for them. The rules are also relevant this day to our rules on spiritual warfare. Deuteronomy chapter 20. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that went with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. So the first group of people to come forward are the priests, to charge the people with confidence and to tell them that God is in the battle and they should not fear. In verse 5, the officers now come. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. What man is he that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. The officers now come and say, You want to go to war? If you know there are things you are doing that will remove your concentration, go back, because if you can't afford to lose concentration at the war front. Then they come again and say, If you are afraid and faint-hearted, get away from here, don't fight, because your fear will cause more trouble. You can read all of that chapter when you get back home on the rules of war given by God to the Israelites. Bottom line is this: we all have battles to fight. Many of us are inside that warfare now. Many are doing very well. Others are not doing so well. Plenty of people are being buried alive. A lot of people have been disgraced. Some have been pulled down from the heights where they are. Some are tied down in the coven altars. A lot of people have received a satanic mandate to determine this how far you can go. You can't go further. A lot of people have been tied down to one spot. Some powers are limiting their growth. Some powers have caged family members, caged loved ones out of Christianity. To some, the enemy has placed a financial embargo. To some, it's career embargo. To some, it's ministerial embargo. To some, the enemy just wants to terminate their destinies. And there are plenty of people facing hardened enemies. Hardened enemies like Pharaoh. Some have strong men leading evil armies against them. And many will escape from bondage only to be recaptured and put back into the bondage. These are serious matters. And these are serious issues. The world is not a picnic ground. It is a battleground. And the battle now becomes worse when your own blood is warring against you. I pray for somebody here that every warfare arranged against you, beginning from tonight, shall be scattered. It 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 shall be scattered. In the name of Jesus. Someone got married, and after the marriage, they gave them a small girl to live with them. And they took this small girl in. That was how the battle started. The battle started. Every night, there is war. No peace. Anytime the wife gets pregnant, somebody comes, struggles with her, physically drag the baby out. And the woman will see what is happening. And this was going on and going on and going on and going on. Until they were able to know where the battle was coming from. I pray. Every hidden battle in anybody's camp shall be scattered to pieces. I prayed for a young girl many years back. She was around 10, 11 years old. And she told me strange things. But before she began to say strange things, immediately we started praying. All of a sudden, this small girl, began to speak fluent Latin. Latin. Fluent Latin. Anytime the prayer stops, the Latin will stop. Strange. Eventually, she said, the brain of her older brother, that they had converted it to sawdust, that he will not pass any examination again. That the one he had passed is the last he was going to pass. The battle of the family started. I said, then, okay, we hear about your brother who has now become a dunce. How about your father? What happened to his business? Say, anytime the man collects a check, takes the check to witchcraft meeting. And immediately the check arrives there, no matter what the volume of the money is, no matter what he does with it, he eventually goes into trouble. Battle. I pray once again, at any battle that anyone here is facing, assigned to disgrace and to demote, let that battle be scattered in the name of Jesus. Let your amen roar like thunder. Why must we fight in this spiritual war? Number one, you fight to possess your possession. Many, since they were born, never had a clue about what they are supposed to enjoy. Many have been allocated into the wrong place so that they will never rise. 90% of success is correct positioning. The enemy has repositioned some people wrongly so that they will never be successful. Number two, you need to fight to enlarge your coast. If you do not fight, your coast remains small. Number three, you need to fight to defend yourself and your territory. And it has been well said that the best defense is attack. Don't wait till you are attacked, then you start up and start fighting. Take the war to the enemy. Four, you fight to recover what the enemy has stolen. We're talking about why we must fight. The Bible says, fight the fight of faith. Number five, you need to fight to fulfill your destiny. Fight to fulfill your destiny. The sixth reason why you need to fight. It's because the only language the enemy understands, violence. The only language the enemy understands is violence. Number seven, you fight because if you don't fight, you perish. Either fight or you perish. And when you face an enemy, you use your most potent weapon. Hate. You fight because whether we like it or not, war has been declared against us. So you have to fight. You have no option. It's a crazy boxer who will get to the boxing ring and they say, box, and you're not fighting back. You're running around in the place or just defending your face, not fighting back. Now, we must fight because sometimes peace and justice cannot be established by peaceful means. Sometimes peace and justice cannot be established by peaceful means. That is, sometimes when there is no war, there is no peace. No war, no peace. 10. Why must we fight? We fight because there are ruthless and wicked entities in this world. Wicked entities. 11. Why must we fight? We need to fight because there are enemies who will refuse any peaceful means of reconciliation. That is, they are unrepentant. Why must we fight? We need to fight because we have been ordered by heavens to fight. It's an order. Either fight or you perish. Why must we fight? We need to fight because there are plenty of persistent and unrepentant enemies. 14. Why must we fight? We need to fight to deliver ourselves from oppression. Deliver ourselves from oppression. 15. Why must we fight? We need to fight to pull down the serpent riding on the horse of our destiny. And finally, why must we fight? We need to fight in order to key into the mystery of opposition. To key into the mystery of opposition. Opposition is a ladder to honor. Opposition is the gateway to glory. If your position must be powerful, if your position must matter, there must be opposition. It's not a question of game. It is what will happen. If you now run away from opposition, you will miss your possession and miss your position. So there is a mystery in opposition. As unfriendly as it sounds, it is a ladder to honor, it's a gateway to glory. There would not have been a David if there was not a Goliath. It was the opposition of Goliath that made David popular. I pray that every Goliath opposition assigned against you shall be disgraced. So much for that. What are the rules? What are these rules of spiritual warfare? The first rule of spiritual warfare is that you must know your God. The Bible says, once I've had it, twice has it been said, power belongeth unto God. You must know the God whom you serve. You must know that the power of your God is the awesome power. You must know that his power cannot be contested with. You must know that his power is the total power, the absolute power. You must realize that none has ever warred against the Lord, and the Lord did not ruin that person, that power. That's why they sing that song, who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle with the Lord? I say what? Nobody. Who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle with the Lord? I say no. Sing it loud and clear. Sing it again. Who can? I say no. You must know the God whom you serve. You must be able to stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your hand, O King, and from the fiery furnace. Say, Daniel, the servant of the living God, does your God whom you serve there not able to deliver you from the mouth of the lion? Say, yes, he has delivered me from the mouth of the lion. Can you raise up your right hand and shout this louder than anyone here? Lions of darkness, roaring against me. Is that the loudest you can shout up? In the name of Jesus. Santa Kaya Boshente Raba. Batanda Kaya Boshente Raba. In Jesus' name we pray. You must know your God. What is the fourth rule of this war? What did he say? Know your God. Know your God very well. Reminds me this day of that fellow that was captured by ritual killers. And they had all those captured in a queue. They were killing them one by one. Some, they cut off the breast. They cut off all kinds of parts of the body. He watched people struggling in pain and die in pain. I pray that all the blood drinking powers in this country will swallow their owners. In the name of Jesus. And he was watching this. He was getting to his turn. So he started praying. As he was praying, we're talking about the power of God. As he started praying, the rituals they were making, they were getting confused. The power in that prayer was confusing them. They too are spiritual people. They have strange powers. Immediately, they knew there was a problem. So they looked around all those and saw somebody making mad, plap, 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 plap. I said, hey, Mr. Man, stop saying whatever you are saying right now. And the brother kept quiet. As the brother kept quiet, those things we were doing, they started doing it again. But he continued praying inside. Again, they started getting confused. They came back to him. Mr. Man, be very careful. What you ask you not to say now, you are saying it inside. We know. So stop it right now. It now got to that stage. The brother now remembered the words of Esther. So, well, I'm here anyway. If I perish, I perish. With all the boldness he could gather, although he hadn't eaten for 3 days, he raised up his words in violent tongue. And as he spoke in tongues, the big concussion that turned upside and fell down. Plenty of confusion in the place. And someone held the brother by the hand. Drag him out of the place. By the time he dragged him out, the person disappeared. And he found himself at the University of Lagos here. Somebody who was taken away outside Lagos. Awesome power. Awesome power of the Lord God. In one of our crusades abroad, there was a woman that went for appendicitis operation. She was there for just a minor surgery of appendicitis. Another woman came to the hospital. The woman had cancer of the womb. So this sister was supposed to have appendicitis removed. This other woman was supposed to have her womb removed. The woman who was to have her womb removed was about 70 years old. The lady who wanted to remove appendicitis doesn't have a child. She's around 30 or so. One strange white doctor came in. He didn't check properly which surgery was supposed to do. He just drove the lady of appendicitis to the theater and removed her womb. It was when the other doctor was trying to remove the womb of the 70-year-old woman, they discovered the error and the problem started. This lady said, "I want to sue them. They removed my womb, I must sue them." I asked her a question. "Is it suing them that will replace your womb? Or that will give you a baby?" I said, "That will not give me a baby, sir, but at least they should pay for their mistake." I said, "No, don't go that route." Bottom line, that she's pregnant now, although the womb had been taken out. That is the awesome power of the God whom we serve. Many of us are coming to church, but we don't really believe God the way we should believe. Many have this faint belief in the power of God. Many even think that there is something that God will not be able to handle. And it's a very strange matter. You must know your God. It's the first rule. The second rule is this. You must know yourself. Know yourself very well. Don't deceive yourself. You know there are still things you are doing you should not be doing. And you are trying to tackle the enemy. When you know there are things you should repent from. As a soldier, know yourself. Study your own weaknesses. If others are deceiving you, don't deceive yourself. Don't claim to be heavy when you are very light. Know yourself very well. Some know that there are things they are doing that will hinder their prayers. But they keep doing those things and they keep praying. This madness. When you know this thing I'm doing is anti-prayer. But you are doing the thing and you are praying. It's like you don't really know yourself well. The great apostle, Joseph Babalola, was in a village called Asanton to hold a crusade. And after the crusade, his normal practice is to go to the river and pray on the river. That time there was no tap water in Nigeria. People drink from the river. So he would pray on it. So he prayed on this river. But as he was about to pray on the river, with his normal smiling face, with smile, he said, "I want to pray on this water now." So, but if you know that you are possessed, you're a witch, you're a wizard, please drink the water before I pray now. After I've prayed, I need the water. If you drink it, anything can happen. Say, "Baba, pray. Don't worry, pray." He prayed, and everybody was drinking. They were happy. But in the church there, they had a mother in Israel. Church mother. The church mother knew that she was not clean. But having looked around, everybody was drinking water. But she kept moving to the back. Then she found that eyes were settling on her. And I said, how can it be hard? Me, a whole mother in Israel, whole church mother, that Baba prayed on water and I did not drink. So she drank. Hey. Trouble started. A force gifted at her tore her wrapper. She landed on the floor naked. And for the first time, most people saw a woman with two different male organs in the body. She knew herself that she was not clean, just forcing herself to do what she should not do. You must know yourself. Sometimes someone will say, "Oh God, arise and let your enemies be scattered." If he should answer that prayer, it may be you that you are shouting, "God, arise." I had a friend like that, a pastor, who said his ministry was not growing, nothing was happening, and he went to 3 days dry fast, was praying for God to arise and do something. And heaven was silent day one, heaven was silent day two, day three. All of a sudden, he saw something like a horse whip coming down from heaven. He was very glad. He said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are bringing us whip to deal with my enemies. Thank you, Jesus." He was still saying, "Thank you, Jesus," when he heard, "Shwa!" Say, "Yeah! Shwa! Yeah! Yeah!" He said,
shouting. Say, I go, oh Lord, why are you beating me? Why are you beating me?
Then the whipping stopped. Say, you have been calling on me for the past 3 days to come and avenge you of your adversaries and to fight your battles for you. I refuse to answer because you are your greatest enemy.
But since you didn't allow us to rest in heaven, I are just shouting.
That's why we brought the whip to cane the enemy. So we know who the enemy is. I pray that you will not wage war against yourself.
I remember the case of that sister. She was having great trouble.
She now took a Bible. She opened to Psalm 35. Plead my cause, Lord. Contend with those who contend with me. Let the angels of God pursue them. Let their ways be dark and slippery. But she found that the more she prayed those prayers from the psalm, the more slippery her own way became. The more the angels were pursuing her. Because she was the enemy.
Beloved,
know yourself. Know thyself. Know thyself. And so it's not out of order to wake up in the morning. You see, that person you are looking at in the mirror is your greatest enemy. Talk to it. How are we today? No problem. Talk to yourself before you go and start fighting spiritual warfare. If you don't talk to yourself, are you going to warfare? You may sometimes come out as a casualty. As a casualty. We were to hold a crusade in a demonic village many years back. As we were about to move into the village, we prayed the final prayer. And I said, if you are here and you are living in sin, this is not campus ministration. We are from the university campus. In the campus, we have educated demons. But right now, where we are now, we are entering to the arena of illiterate demons. Crude ones. So, please, if you know there's any sin in your life, don't enter with us. Stay here. Be praying for those of us who are going. Don't come. I said, close your eyes, everybody. So, if you know you are not going to go, raise up your hand so that you can be separated from us. I saw one hand going up, but by the time I will look again, it has come down. Anybody? 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 The person opened one eye, was looking at me. Close the eyes back. Okay. Okay, let's go. We are able to go up and take that country. To possess our land from Jordan to the sea. So that giants may be on our way to India. God will surely give us victory. Move on. That's what we sang and enter into the village. We didn't know that at the doormouth of the village, that's where their strongest idol is being worshipped. And we were worshipping the thing when we got there. And the men look at us. Ah, these small boys, what are you looking for here? I said, we come to preach. Say, come to preach? Say, you have eaten and you are belly full. Yeah, look at all of them. They're all well-fed people. They say they have come to preach. Leave this place and go and face your book. Stop disturbing us. So no, Jesus has power over everything you are doing there. It's okay, we shall see. The man entered into one hut, brought out a white powder unto all of us. We were still singing our song. Nothing happened to anybody. All of a sudden, from my back, I heard a scream. Holy Mio! Holy Mio! Holy Mio! When I will look back, that fellow was doing his hand like this. Was on the floor. Rolling as if he had epilepsy. Already his mouth was foaming. What problem is this? So we had to abandon our village evangelism and started praying for him. Beloved, we did not enter that village to preach. It was that man we were praying for. Until we went back home. One man who refused to know himself jeopardized the old mission. Know yourself. For somebody to use magic fetish power against you and it works in you, it means there is a ladder in your life through which the juju of fetish power can work. Can you raise up your right hand with fire and with power? You will say, divine immunity. Against every attack of darkness. Can you shout that loud and clear? Locate me now. In the name of Jesus. Name we pray. Before you sit down, you now raise your voice loud and clear.
Ladders of darkness in my life. Down! In the name of Jesus.
Sit down for a few minutes. So, what is rule number one? Rule number two. Rule number three. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Do not fight an unknown enemy. Learn everything you can learn about the enemy before you go into battle. 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Olden days saints were not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. These days now we have people teaching their members, don't learn anything about the enemy. Just forget it. Don't learn anything. The Bible says, Satan will get an advantage when you are ignorant of his devices. I sent somebody to go and represent me somewhere to preach. It was a university campus. And this pastor from Mountain of Fire began to talk about evil dreams. There was a young lady there. She was asking a friend, This man said it's wrong to be eating in the dream. It's wrong to be breastfeeding babies you don't know in the dream. Every night I eat. Every night I breastfeed. Is it bad? See, they don't really know who the enemy is. That songwriter says, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the same today and forever. Everybody ought to know. At the same time, beloved, everybody ought to know who Satan is. You need to know it. You must know your enemy. I shared here before of a brother who was praying, hot prayer. And a spiritual being in white garment stood before him physically and said, son, stop praying. Your prayers have been answered. Because it is written that I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. The brother now looked at the spiritual being speaking, who said, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. He found that the thing was lifting up the left hand instead. When he saw that it was the left hand, he now looked carefully and found that even the white garment has some patches of dirtiness there. So it was clear to the brother that this being is not an angel of God. Although trying to disguise to be one, the brother now shouted, fire! And the thing disappeared. But if you don't know the enemy, you will take the enemy as your friend. I have a boyfriend. No, you don't have a boyfriend. What you have is a boy fool, a girl fool. That's what you have. You don't know the enemy. The enemy is coming in all kinds of disguises. So know the enemy you are fighting. I think this is where we're going to stop here tonight. And we'll continue next week. We've only covered 3 out of 70. Rise up on your feet now. And all eyes closed. Rise up on your feet, all eyes closed. It's important that you follow these teachings. It's important you understand them. As we're here now, by the rules of warfare, by the rules of spiritual warfare, you and I, we can determine what happens anywhere in the world. But this strategy is not clear to many of us. We can determine what goes on. But if we don't do it, the situation remains as they are, or even worsens. All eyes closed. But you see, if you are here tonight and you are not born again, not just surrender your life to Jesus, just raise up your right hand where you are and say what I'm going to say after. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that short prayer with me, just wait and see us before you go. After this service, we can give you more instructions. With fire in your voice, pray these warfare prayers, which has helped many people. Can I hear the sisters saying this after me? Wherever I go, agents of darkness will not steal my portion. Can I hear the sister shouting out? Let your voice be loud. Brothers, let me hear you shouting like fire. Everybody together now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it now. Besatakatendayama. Name we pray. Pray this next prayer with holy anger. Say, blood poured on the ground against me. Swallow your owner. Can you say that loud and clear? Is that the loudest you can shout it? In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray. Name we pray. Say, every fetish power poured on the ground to subdue my life. Can I hear you shouting the word and get? Catch your hammer in the name of Jesus. That's right. P-
happened to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
You now cry against every Jericho wall between you and your breakthrough.
Say, Jericho wall! Between me and my breakthrough! Break! In the name of Jesus! That's right! Open your mouth, open your mouth! Destroy the world, destroy the world! Bakapata, Satala Kayama Shanta, Riva Sapenda Katela Bakoyama! In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we thank you. Help us to war a good warfare. In Jesus' name.